podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
It's taking away.
has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the Thriving Tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Show featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Coming at you from PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. My name is Bill, and with me on the line tonight is Heath Kipp, the author of the band book. What's up, Heath?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me. It's great to be on the Pennsylvania Rock Show. I'm a big fan, so it's great to be here.
Thank you. So let's get everyone familiar with you. Why don't you give us a little bit of your background?
I'll be 50 years old next year, and played my first gig when I was 15. So I've been performing for over 30 years now. Pretty much worked in just about every area of the music business. Not as my primary job, but, you know, as my, you know, musical job, I guess. Worked in, you know, booking, management, promotion, live and studio audio, lighting production. Played in over 13 different bands over the years, both covers and originals. My most recent band is really the first one that we haven't played originals in. So this is was the first band I was in that was all covers. Over the years, had played with over 60 different band members and had recorded on 5 professionally released CDs over the years.
What about that background made you decide to write this book?
Well, I guess there were two main factors that kind of led to the book. The first was that when I was younger, I went out and saw a lot of bands, you know, just going out and kind of researching for our own needs as band members. After we would come back from that, I would kind of scratch down notes on little scraps of paper and put those away in my wallet of things that I liked that these bands did, and, you know, probably more often things that I didn't like don't ever do that no matter what you do, you know. And so I would take those back then and kind of put them into my computer and create lists of things to work on for band practice. So I would show up with these lists of all the things that we had seen to do and to not do. And, you know, over the years, I kept adding to those and they got longer and longer. And pretty soon I realized that I kind of had the start of a book already completed. So, you know, that was the beginning of it. The second part of it was that there really was a need for a book like this. I always purchase books on how to promote for your band and how to do band business and things like that. But most of them only had a few ideas that I could use that were practical advice. The band book is more of an all-inclusive book. I try to cover as many different things from starting a band through, you know, booking and negotiating and performing, and then on through all the business parts of it, you know, how to take care of taxes and how to pay your band members and what tax forms they need to have. So, you know, I try to include as much as I could in the book.
I've been noticing over my last couple podcasts, and you're going to have to go back and listen, as the conversations are growing on, I'll be like, you know what? I'm reading this book, and that came up, and this is what he suggested. So if in the book it says that not everyone will have to read every chapter, and that you can move throughout the book depending on your level of experience. If a band member told you that they only had time to read one chapter, which chapter would you tell them to read and why?
I think I would say the promotion chapter. I think that, you know, we're lucky in this area that we really have a lot of amazing musicians and really great bands. But I think a lot of them just aren't really aware of how to really go out and promote their band. Everyone today is good on social media. So everyone's doing the Facebook and the Twitter thing. But very few people are really going out and doing posters and flyers and doing email fan lists and those kinds of things. So, you know, the promotion chapter is probably going to be most beneficial to bands at this point.
I am. The one thing I love, and probably because I'm a freelance website designer, is that multiple times I've read in there that you say that a band should have a website and cite reasons why. Because a lot of bands don't think they need them, and they think that social media is the end all. And what are your opinions on that?
Well, my thoughts are, if you're only doing social media, you're kind of limiting yourself to only the people who are involved with social media. There's a lot of people out there that don't, you know, don't have the time to be involved with social media, or they're just not interested in that. So you're limiting yourself to the number of people that you can have at your crowds if you don't have, you know, other areas for people to go to. The other thing with social media, especially Facebook, it's a great tool to use. But, you know, for my own purposes, if I see a band that I really like and I want to know, you know, when is their next show, it's not an easy place to list all of your shows where, you know, if you go to a website, you go to their schedule page and you can see every show that's coming up. You can read more information about the band. You have more information in the bio pages. You know, you can get a lot more in-depth information from a website than you'll be able to get from social media. Your Facebook page is definitely important, but I think that your website is equally as important.
I love that answer. I find myself reading through the book and going, I've been telling people that for so long. And I'm hoping that seeing it in print is going to make it, you know, sink in, because I think, as you said, there's a lot of great talent here in the area.
Right.
But there needs to be another step. And, you know, some bands are getting there, but they're so close, but, you know, no one's made that final step yet.
Right. And there's so much they can do. It's really not that difficult. It's just knowing the steps to take and, you know, getting your band members involved to help out. It is a lot of work. And what people don't realize, they spend a lot of time practicing, personal practice and rehearsal time with the band. But your promotional work is a whole nother job that you need to be aware of as a band member, and you need to take that on. And if you do, you will definitely, you know, you'll enjoy seeing the fruits of your labors. It's a funny thing to say, but for me over the years, promotion has become a fun thing to do. When I go out and I know that I've put up 25 or 30 posters around town in store windows, and I've done the same for black and white flyers that are out on telephone poles around town. And, you know, I've sent out my email lists and I've done all of that. It feels good. And whenever you at the show and you have a full crowd, you know that it's partly because of all the work that you had just put in.
I think what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to go ahead and play a song and we'll come back for another segment if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Now I've done this many times and we'll see if it works. Is there a local band in the area that you would like to hear? Let's see if I have them in my playlist.
You know what? I love, there's a band called Jimbo and the Soup Bones that a lot of people are aware of. They have a song called Eat a Bug. That's one of my favorite songs that they do.
I do not have any Jimbo. I am familiar with him, though.
Okay. How about the Boogie Hustlers?
Man, you know what I need for you to do for me? I need you to make me a list of bands that I need to get in contact with.
I'll do that.
That happens sometimes.
How about give me some ATF? I know you guys have some ATF.
I definitely have some ATF. Any song in particular, or are you going to leave that one up to me?
I'll leave that up to you.
Okay, so we're going to play some After the Fall. Should I go old school or should I go off the new disc?
Give me something new, buddy.
Okay, so we'll go After the Fall, Scream. That one gets a lot of airtime, especially on the American Hilljack Files, proradio.com.
Shining, now I'm hiding, now I'm making a shining.
Hey, it's Bill. We're back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me is Heath Kipp, the author of the book, The Band Book. And you just heard from After the Fall, their song Scream. And while we were off the air, we were discussing how that's one of the bands that comes to mind while I'm reading the book. They do a pretty good job at a lot of the stuff that you've written about. And the one thing that really stuck with me was when you were talking about creating a scene. And I really think that the drummer and bass player have done a great job creating a rock and metal scene here in the area. And it's, you know, I've known those guys forever and they get a ton of airtime, but they definitely, you know, when I'm reading through, they're like, oh, they do that. Oh, they do that too. Oh, they do that.
Right. They're definitely one of the, you know, the best known bands in the area. And, you know, I agree with you about the scene. I know they do a lot of showcase gigs and, you know, give a lot of other bands opportunities that they might not otherwise have.
And that ability to reach out to other bands and to share shows is something that I preach a lot. You know, just because a group is, you know, they're following this band doesn't mean that they wouldn't be interested in another band. And, you know, if you don't play shows with each other, then, you know, your fans may never find out about those other bands and vice versa.
Sure. And when you have several bands playing on the same bill, you have an opportunity to have more people promoting and putting out more information. So hopefully you get a bigger crowd.
That brings up a question that I did not pre-script. This people that are listening will be like, wait, did he just say pre-script?
That's rare.
What's your take on pay-to-play shows?
Well, we've done our share of pay-to-play. I think that there's a place for that. Usually, in my experience, the pay-to-play shows are in venues that may already have sound and lighting equipment that you don't have to pay for on your own. They're covering that. So, you know, they're covering their costs. I know it's a difficult thing to do. Selling tickets in advance is always difficult. But, you know, there are ways to do it. And, you know, once again, coming back to promotion, if you promote properly, it makes those things much easier. It's the same with negotiating with club owners. Everyone complains about, you know, the trouble with negotiating and the trouble with getting more money from clubs. If you follow the steps that I've outlined in the book and you take care of all the promotion that you have available to you, your crowds will be bigger and all of those things will be much easier. Pay to play won't be a problem. Negotiating with club owners becomes much easier.
Because if you follow those steps, you know, you get the larger crowd base, which gives you a little more pull when you go sure. into that in that conversation.
Absolutely. And the club owners are much nicer to you when you're pulling larger crowds. It's amazing the difference.
Also, along those lines, you talk about playing benefit shows. You want to touch on that a little bit?
You know, benefit shows are something that all bands should, you know, obviously be doing. You get a lot more personal satisfaction than you do, you know, financial compensation or anything like that. But, you know, you're going to be also exposed to a lot more, a wider variety of people that you might not otherwise be playing to, people that are involved in the benefit. You know, we've always wanted to come up with a specific benefit and kind of get behind that and push. I know you guys kind of do some of that stuff. And, you know, I've always been impressed with all of the different benefit projects that you guys put on.
Thank you. Let's get back to the book a little.
Okay.
Not that we weren't far away from right. it, because those are in the book. But what did you edit out of the book? What didn't make the cut?
You know, I hate to say that there's not much that was edited out. It's a pretty thick book. I think there's 230 pages or maybe more. When I tell other authors that I had, 70,000 words in my book, they laugh. I guess I'm a little bit long-winded in that way. But once again, as I said in the beginning, I tried to be as all-inclusive as I could. I wanted to try to give, you know, band members of any age any information that I had seen that, you know, as far as things that were, you know, good ideas to do and things that were good ideas to avoid. My editor actually recommended that a few things didn't really have a place in the book. Some of the things towards the end of the book that were, you know, maybe seemed like they were kind of thrown in. That's because I felt that that was great information that I didn't really want to leave out.
I haven't made it to the end yet. I'm getting there. I think I'm on one. I forgot the book at school too. Yeah. That's one. Wow. I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, I guess 190 on that note,
something maybe
on that note too. Something that's been really great for me. I talked to a friend the other day whose son is 18 years old. They're, you know, a young band. They're just getting started. And he told me that he got a copy of the book for him. And they keep the book at band practice. And every day at practice, they sit around and they read portions of the book out loud. And they talk about it. And it's creating more dialogue. And I think it's really... I hope it catches on because I think it can be really helpful and really beneficial.
You just made me think of something in my past. And when I was in college, I started playing lacrosse and I had no background in lacrosse at all.
Right.
And the captain came in one day. He was frustrated with me because I just really didn't have a clue. And he handed me this book and I don't remember the title of it, but he said, "This is the Bible. Read this. And you'll understand."
Right.
And looking back on it, it kind of made sense. And I got better too.
Sure. And that's what I'm hoping for here too.
That's where I was headed.
I'm trying to create that.
Do you have any future projects lined up?
Well, right now, while I'm in the middle of promoting the book, that's kind of taking up a lot of my time. I was in for the last 9 years, I guess up until a couple of years ago, I was in a band called The Funk Band. We did all dance music, funk and disco, things like that. But it was all covers. And so, you know, kind of what I would really like to do is to start writing some material that is kind of that 70s feel and go into the studio and start laying down some tracks with the members of the funk band. We had a horn section and, you know, it was a lot of fun with that. So, I would love to get in and do some writing and recording with the guys from the funk and, down the road, come back out with that band and, you know, have an original CD that we can promote at the same time.
That's actually a perfect segue into another one of my questions. Which is harder, writing a book or writing a song?
Well, I think writing a book takes, you know, the years of experience that I wouldn't have had when I was younger. I've written, you know, many, many songs. I think the thing with songs is that it requires a bit of magic. You kind of need that, you know, if anyone could tell you how to write a hit song or how to, you know, how to write a song so that you can make it in the industry, then we'd all be rich, you know, but, you know, it's a difficult, that's a difficult situation, I think.
Okay. If there is one message that's in the book that you think, would be the most important for a band to learn by reading it, what is that message?
One of the things that I think that I've learned, that a lot of other bands don't really know about and don't really do is how to turn your, you know, 40 songs that you learn into a show where, you know, as, you know, from my perspective, the first and last song of every set should be the best songs that you play because most people remember the first and the last thing that they hear.
Right.
So, you know, there should be a flow to your sets and, you know, the way that you come to the stage and, you know, the song selection that you have and the image that your band has and the size of your PA system and, you know, your light show. Hopefully you come with a light show and you not just have a couple of trees of lights there. You know, I noticed some of the shows that you guys do, you have a beautiful light show and the photographs look amazing because there's all these beams of light. You know, you're creating a show and people want to be entertained. So if you can create a show, you're giving people more than just music. You're entertaining them and you have much more chance of them coming back and seeing you again in the future.
I was at Peter B's one time.
Yes.
And I think I was there with Cage, who are no longer together, but they have a lighting system built in. And someone handed me the board for it and said, here, run this. And I went, and
right.
I literally spent the rest of the night just randomly pressing buttons.
Right, right.
But you're right. The light show is huge. And a lot of bands don't realize that either. And Raina Pelli, probably you've seen a lot of her photos when you're looking at those light photos. She's mm-hmm. an amazing photographer that I wish more bands knew about, which brings us to another point in your book, the photography and marketing of the band. Is there any key to that you think aspiring musicians should know?
Sure. We're lucky that we have the Art Institute in town here. There are several other schools that are big with, art programs. There's so many people out there that are creative in the photography field that if you put some flyers out there, go to the schools and put flyers on their bulletin boards right at the school, you can get really great creative photographers to come out and take photos of your band that will make a huge difference in, what you're able to use on your website, all your promotional material. I've seen some really great flyers that are amazing, but they use a photograph that's really not very flattering of the band or of a band member. And, if you hire someone that knows what they're doing, they know how to use lighting, they know how to frame everything, you're going to have a much better quality product, and you can do that without spending a fortune. Because you know, they do have these amateur, freelance photographers that you can use that are really amazing.
Well, while you were answering the question, I went to look up the lighting guy's company name because I couldn't remember it. His name is Jonathan Fleischman, and his company is Strobe Lighting. So if anyone is looking to add a light show to their shows, they should look him up. He's pretty sure. Amazing.
And we used Tim Segi from Vision Line Lighting. He's from Butler area too. And he does, smaller and mid-level shows as well as bigger concert productions as well. So he's another great guy to look up. But, when we started out with the funk band, we didn't have a lot of money to put into production. We actually went out to Craigslist and started buying used lights. We bought, disco lights for $20 and little... pin spotlights, and we created our own light show and had a friend run lights for us for a long time until we built our crowd up to the point where we could afford the larger production. And what's kind of funny that people would laugh at is by the end of the funk band, our production alone was $800 per show. We paid $400. Yeah, we paid $400 for our sound company. We paid $250 for lighting, and then we had promotional costs and a couple of roadies. And so, before any band members made a penny, we had to make $800 to do the show.
And I would assume, since you guys were around for a while, that wasn't an issue after you followed those steps in the band book that you're offering to everyone.
That's true. And really, I think what pushed us over the edge was, doing the quarter page schedules that I talked about, where you could actually put your schedule on a page and copy that, put four of them on a page, cut them into quarters. And that really is the most cost effective type of promotion that you can use. The cost of that is really minimal, but the benefits that you get are that you leave those on the tables at your shows. People are going to take those home with them. They either keep them in their purse or their wallet. Many people that I talk to put those on their refrigerator at home or maybe on a bulletin board, and you have two or three shows on there, and every time they come back to see you, they get another one of those little schedules, and they do hang on to those. Then on the other end of that, getting into the email list, which is a thing that a lot of people kind of forget about these days. If you're at a club and you have a bunch of people there that are interested in your band, if you go up and have a clipboard with a sign-up sheet for your email there, if they give you their email address, they like your band. because they don't want to be bothered with spam. So if they don't really like your band, they won't give you their email address. So every time you go to a show, if you pack another 25 email addresses onto your list and you send those out every time you do a show, those are actually people that like your group that will come back to a show. So, you know, that's a good gauge of the number of people that are part of your fan base. And once we reached 1,000 people on our email list, we had no problems filling clubs. You know, by the end of Defunct Band, we had 1,500 people on our email list, and that was a great negotiating point for club owners too. So as you build this up, you can use that in your negotiation. You know, it sounds really great to tell a club owner that you have 1,500 people on your email list, and then when you send that out, they actually do show up. Not 1,500, but you know, you always get a very small portion of the promotion that you do. So the more promotion that you do, you know, the bigger your end result will be.
There are definitely things in your book that I've made mental notes of for my show. And the mailing list is one. I have a mailing list, but I'm really bad at getting people to add their emails. And right. And I'm also really bad at using the mailing list.
Like, sure.
So that's one
The other thing that's nice about that too, is that it creates some conversation with the people that are there. You're actually going out and you're meeting people and you're saying, hey, thanks for coming to the show. I really appreciate you coming. Are you on my email list? If not, you know, would you mind signing up? And we'll let you know when the shows are coming up. And so, you know, people get to know you and they appreciate that too. And then hopefully you go back and you remember those people and then they feel like they're part of your musical family at that point.
So I have two more questions for you and then I'll let you go.
Okay.
This one may be the most important in my eyes. how important do you think internet radio and podcasts are to local musicians?
I think it's incredibly important. You know, that seems to be the way things are going. You know, social media and internet radio and everything, that's the wave of the future to me. It's allowing people that don't have the funds to have a voice, I guess, people that don't have a huge budget, and the same with bands. I mean, it's allowing bands that, you know, used to be you had to have a record company behind you to get these things accomplished, and now you can get out and you can be heard, you know, for next to nothing, and many times it's free.
Now I need you to shout that from a rooftop so I can get some more bands involved.
Right. I'm sure.
I've been at this for going on 13 years, and the hardest part is to get a band to let me play their music.
That's hard to believe.
I know, but and the show has evolved throughout the years. It used to be a live streaming show from my living room every week. Then it turned into a monthly live show, and then it turned into what we're doing now. Mostly because I had twins.
I'm sure that keeps you busy.
Yeah, that kind of put the end to bands playing live in my living room. I have an external drive with a ton of local music on it that I do play. If I had one thing that I would like you to add to your book, so if you're writing another one.
Yes, I'm already taking notes on number two.
It would be that if a radio station or internet radio or podcast contacts you about playing your music, follow up on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you do make the transaction and the music is being played and you make more music, send it too.
Right.
I can't tell you how many bands I have like one album from that I know have done multiple albums, and I would love to play it.
Right. Well, you know, yeah. I've been a fan of yours for many, many years. I know you've been doing this for a long time, and I've been following you, you know, probably most of the time that you've been doing it. And I think that the local artists are so lucky to have, you know, people like you. I know there's a couple other guys around town that are doing similar work. Mm-hmm. And we never had that when I was coming up. So these guys are lucky to have someone that's out there promoting for them and teaching them. I know that you have a lot of great information and really good informative articles on your PA Rock Show website. And, you know, these guys are really lucky. They really need to take advantage of, you know, people that are willing to help that don't have some ulterior motive. So, you know, I think it's a great idea for them to reach out to you guys as much as they can.
And there's something in your book that I did kind of, I read and I went, whoa, wait a minute. And you kind of just went against what you wrote too.
Okay.
You said that if someone's offering something for free, that it probably isn't.
Basically. And that is very, very true.
In most cases.
in most cases. And I think that the words that I used in the book was, if someone offers you something for free, run away as fast as you can.
That was along that line.
Because we've been through many situations where someone said, you know, I want you to sign this, you know, agreement, and I want to be your manager and I can do great things for you. But they really have no background. They have no information that they can, you know, show you. So, you know, someone like you, it's a little different. You're kind of a local celebrity. People can look you up. They know that you're not, you know, in it for the wrong reasons, I guess. So I guess that's the main thing, is if someone has something to offer, do the proper research to make sure that you're dealing with someone that's legitimate and not someone that is just trying to take advantage of you.
And I think, and I know you haven't seen this, but I have a legal document that basically gives me permission to play the music and to use it in sweepers. And a lot of people in this area, as soon as you ask them to sign something, that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. And
what is scary, and yeah. I do have something in the book that if you're asked to sign something, at least have a lawyer take a look at it. It's not that expensive, and it will save you so much trouble down the road. So, you know, it's a great idea, even for a small agreement, just to have someone that knows law, just take a look at it.
But mine was written by, of course, I'm going to blank on his name now. He was, are you familiar with Total Music and Entertainment?
No.
Okay. It was a company in Penn Hills. The owner has since passed away. But he was a signed writer for different labels over the years. And he did a lot of work with unsigned bands here in the area. And I helped him with his website. And in return, he got his lawyer to write the agreement for me, which was an awesome deal for me.
Sure, absolutely.
But I made him explain it to me like 15 times. Now, what does this mean again?
Right.
And
right.
So I get it when bands freak out a little bit, but at the same time, you know, I'm making absolutely no money off of the show, and I'm here to help. And
right.
You know.
Well, so, like I said, you're someone that they can look up and they can tell that you're a well-known local celebrity, and you know, I think that they know that your heart's in the right place and that you're just trying to help local music, help to create the scene. And you have been for many years. You do have a history.
Yeah. 1995 is when I started. I didn't know that's where I was headed when I did it, but
right.
All right. So my last question for you, and before I ask it, I'm just going to remind everyone we're speaking with Heath Kipp, the author of the band book. And I know the answers to this, but where can someone get a copy of the book?
They can go to thebandbook.net. There's a link directly from there to the publisher. It is also available on Amazon. You have to do your search for the band book by Heath Kipp in order for that to show up on the search. So you can get it on Amazon, but if you buy it locally, you're helping to support local authors. So I hope that people do buy directly through the website. That'll link you over to the publisher, and they have a secure site there that you can use your credit card to purchase a book.
And I believe it's $22 through the local publisher. Does that sound
right?
And for the amount of information that's in there, that's well worth more than $22 for a local band. So if you do not have a copy of the band book, make sure you go get it. I've mentioned it on, I actually run another podcast, so it's come up on both of them. And numerous times someone has said to me, I got to go get that. So now you know where. thebandbook.net and click the, I think it's right on the front page, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it is right on the front.
And it'll be in the show notes for this show too. So if you're listening and you'd like to buy a copy of it, go to parockshow.com and you can get it, get a direct link from there as well. So thanks for coming on, Heath. Are there any last minute thoughts you'd like to throw out there before we move on and play some more local music?
Sure. I would like to say something. First of all, thanks very much for having me. It's been great to be on the show. And I'd like to just say, just as in closing, that in much of the band book, I kind of seem like I'm barking orders, like I'm saying, do this and don't do that a lot. My favorite actor in the world, Harvey Keitel, plays the wolf in the movie Pulp Fiction. He offered the following wisdom, and it applies here as well. He said, if I'm curt with you, it's because time is a factor. I think fast, I talk fast, and I need you guys to act fast if you want to get out of this. So pretty please, with sugar on top. Thank you very promote much. Your band. Everybody's and waiting buy the for band book. Sing,
so what's it going to be? Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so.
She's like a bat, can you hear a tale? It's not a bad trip, a ship, a boy, or a whale. Not at all to do with the sky turning blue on a cold winter's day. It's okay, cause every now and then there's an urge to continue. Always comes down to the things you didn't know you had in you. It's never too late to reevaluate or justify another addiction. And every now and then it's just a little bit crazy with my life spinning out of control. There's nothing you can ever say or do that can faze me. You can bury me 6 feet in a hole. Here we go, and I take the lion's share in the roar that you hear. When someone let the cat out the bag, shoot your death, throw it going, make a wish, break the plate, clean the dish. And nothing else really matters. Cha-cha-cha-cha. With a shine of salt and lime, I like my beer super cold. I like my wine to be old. I like the way you're looking at me right now. Oh yeah. And every now and then I'm just a little bit crazy with my life spinning out of control. There's nothing you can ever say or do that can faze me. You can bury me 6 feet in a hole. I'm still alive. I'm singing angels and demons. All the things you believe in. Give it a stir, a little harder. Can be so deceiving. There's no dial tone, it's no fault but your own. Still will never keep you from calling. I'll find you, spread your shovel of dirt on my face, it won't hurt. Please try to cover up the stains on my favorite shirt. It's so easy to say when they come and what may. If something wicked from this way comes. And every now and then it's just a little bit crazy with my life spinning out of control. There's nothing you can do, there's nothing that can faze me. You can bury me 6 feet in a hole. It's not about a trip, a ship, a boy, or a whale, not at all.